Now we'll talk about the other side, right? Life after death, questions from Earth, answers from heaven. Shar Margolis joins us, the psychic, next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. George Norrie with you. Shar Margolis is an internationally acclaimed psychic intuitive who has been using her gifts to help people for more than 40 years. She has amazed millions of people all over the planet with her uncanny ability to make contact with departed spirits. Her book, Questions from Earth, Answers from Heaven. Shar, welcome to the program. It's interesting you follow a scientist who does not accept the fact that there is life after death.
Well, that's okay. And good morning and happy summer. It's summer solstice.
It's just started.
It's time for celebration, yes. And it's an honor to be on with you. And that's okay. That's what makes the world go around. I mean, you know, it would be boring if everybody believed in the same thing.
Well, that sure would be. Now, tell me a little bit more about yourself. How did this all start for you?
Well, I'm from Michigan.
So am I. You're from Franklin, Michigan, right?
Well, actually, that's my P.O. box, but I have a home in Southfield, Michigan.
Know it well. I used to work at WJBK TV2, right up the street probably from where you are.
Wait, with Steve Antonetti?
I had Steve hired. How do you know Steve? No, let me tell you a quick little story.
Okay.
I was working at then WWJ Television, which is now WDIV Channel 4. I was a producer, and I knew Steve and got him hired there as a producer. And then I went to WJBK as a producer and then became executive news producer there and brought Steve along with me.
Okay. And the first TV show I ever did was with Vic Caputo at WJBK on Nine Mile Road. It's the first studio I was ever in.
What year were you there? Do you remember?
Oh, God.
I was there from 74 to 78. I was a puppy.
It was around that time that
Vic Caputo was with us. He was doing one of our talk shows.
Yeah, it was around that time that I did this, and they gave me an opportunity, and then after I did that, I was on Kelly & Company all the time.
Which was at Channel 7.
Right, at XYZ. And then I had an epiphany when I knew that I had this ability to help people. And I decided, I asked the producer, Randy Barone, I don't know if you remember.
I don't know Randy.
I said, is there a talk show like Kelly & Company in L.A.? And he said, yeah, it's called AM LA, and somebody named Regis Philbin is the host.
That's great.
And somebody named Ron Ziskin is the executive producer. So I call 411 in L.A. I'd never been to L.A. And because I felt like if I'm supposed to share this work and teach this work, if this is my life's work, if I can go to Los Angeles and do this, then that means I'm supposed to do this. Anyway, I call and I say, and I forgot the name of the producer, and I said, who's the executive producer? No, I said to the lady at information at 411. In Los Angeles, I said, could I have the number of AMLA? And she said, honey, I think what you want is KABC. I said, okay. And so she gives me the number. I call KABC. I asked for the producer, the executive producer of AMLA, and they said, it's Ron Ziskin. And I said, thank you. And I hang up, and I call back again. And I ask for Ron. And to this day, he doesn't know. Executive producers do not take phone calls. To this day.
I used to. In those days, we did it all.
Well, he never did. And for some reason, he took my call. And I said, I'll read for you. I'll read. He put a woman who was his associate producer on the phone, and I read for her. And she said, can you get out to L.A.? And I had just enough money to get an airplane ticket to get out to L.A. And they said, we'll put you up at the Beverly Hilton. And and works on
nice
the car.
Hotel Polo Club.
Yeah, and then no, that's the Beverly.
That's the Beverly. No, that's the Beverly Hotel.
Yeah, that's
Beverly
Hotel.
Hills Hotel. That's right.
And anyway, everyone said if Regis likes you, you'll make it in this business, meaning TV, and if he doesn't, you won't. And so Regis liked me, and I got an apartment in Los Angeles in 1984 for 1 month, by the month, and I still have it.
What a small world. Because I'm in Los Angeles, and we've got this Detroit connection and everything. And you got to know Steve Ware, Antonetti.
Antonetti from Michigan, because he put me on TV shows.
That's great. What a small world.
Yeah, and I could never totally leave Michigan. I had my apartment in L.A., but I could not totally leave Michigan because I still have friends from kindergarten, and I have friends, you know, even when I've done book signings there, my seventh grade English teacher still comes to my book signings.
Do you remember the radio host Bob Hines?
Yes.
Were you ever on his
show? I didn't know
him. You weren't on his show then.
I don't think I was on his show, but I remember his name.
Because my sister produced his program and would have called you to be a guest, I'm sure.
And I was on, I might have been on it, and I don't remember, and J.P. McCarthy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all these great
All those guys in Michigan. And you know what? Detroit is coming back.
And you know what station is carrying you on right now?
What?
CKLW.
CKLW?
Yeah, that's the station we're on.
You're kidding. Isn't it in Canada?
It's in Windsor, but it carries over. And back in the 60s, it was one of the biggest radio stations ever, ever.
I remember.
And then
I remember.
It was. I had some dear friends there. I really did. And
I remember. So, why? My goodness. So you grew up in Michigan, then?
Yeah, I was. My mother still lives in Dearborn. And
God bless her.
And then, I ended up going to St. Louis and Minneapolis, and now I'm here and doing this, and here you are. But let's get into you now. People are probably saying, enough of you Detroiters.
Everybody, we probably lost half the audience. Okay.
And, look, we're out of time, so I'll see you, Shar. Thanks for being on the show.
No, yeah, kidding. It was a pleasure.
All right, how did you become a psychic intuitive?
Well, I guess I was born that way.
We all are, but aren't we?
I believe we all are, yes. I believe that, but what happened was I saw spirits since I was a little kid. And like when I was 4 years old, my dad would take me grocery shopping. And my mom would always look at the bill. We lived in Oak Park. And so we came home, and I said, "Mommy, that lady cheated us." And I think I was 4 or 5 years old. And so my mother listened to me. She looked at the bill, and the woman overcharged us. Well, 2 weeks later, my mother took me to lunch at Stafford's on Coolidge. I don't know if you remember that place. And the lady gave us the bill, and I said, "Mommy, that lady overcharges," and she overcharges 10 cents. 10 cents was a lot of money then. and so my parents were amazing. They never said, "Stop making up stories, stop trying to get attention." They listened to me.
They encouraged you.
And then when I was 8 years old, I woke up in the middle of the night. Our house had been broken into 2 weeks before that. And there was a spirit at the foot of my bed, and I could, like, see through him. He was wearing rags, raggedy clothes, but I could see through him. And I didn't know what it was. I was scared to death. I thought that the people who had broken into our house were living in the crawl space attic in my closet. And I put the covers over my head. I started pinching myself to see if I was really awake. I didn't understand it. I shivered myself back to sleep. And the next morning I went, Mommy, the burglars were here again last night. She said, "What do you mean?" And I told her. She said, "Oh, no, honey, that was just the Sandman."
Uh-huh.
I said, "Oh, there's a Sandman?" And she said, "Yes." So every time I would come up with something like this, they listened to me. And And I, but after that night that I saw that when I was 8 years old, I had to have someone stand in the room till I fell asleep at night. I had to have the light on.
Oh, wow.
It's like little kids who feel like there's a boogeyman under the bed, or close the closet door, because my feeling is that these children are feeling energies, that of spirits. And I do believe that we live in a physical world and we live in an energetic world. And in the energetic world, there is all kinds of thoughts and feelings and energy going on. But also there's a way to connect to the spirit world. And my theory is that love never dies, and that when we cross over to the other side, we see our loved ones again, if we're lucky enough to see them. And if we go, if we've lived our lives with a clear conscience, and that so that we go to a good neighborhood, because we want to make sure that we do it right this time around. I believe that some things in life are predestined, and there's this blueprint, but in between, we have free will and we have choice. So as we have free will and we have choice, that's how we accrue our karma. So everybody has intuition, and my goal is to help people take away their fear. Fear of death, by knowing we see our loved ones again when we cross over to the other side, and fear of living by knowing that we're guided with our intuition. And I always say, when we use logic, common sense, and intuition, we get our best answers.
What would you have said to the scientist who did a great job? I mean, it was a great interview, but he does not, I'm not going to use the word believe because he doesn't believe, but he says the other side does not exist. What would you have told him otherwise?
But he didn't he also say there's, well, first of all, you're talking about Einstein, and Einstein said E equals MC squared. So we're made of energy. Our cells are all energy. So
sure.
We are made of energy. So where do we go when we cross over? You know,
you would assume that energy doesn't dissipate.
I don't feel it does. And so I would have said that. And then he said something, because I did listen to your first 2 hours to keep me up. He said something about there's space. There's empty space. Empty space exists.
They don't know what it is yet, but it's
they
there.
They don't know what it is yet.
Dark matter.
And the other thing that moved me, when you were talking about your science teacher, and you said, I told him about other planets. I told him this and this and this. And how old were you? 12?
No,
11?
I was
how old
15.
Were you?
15 then.
15, okay. And he didn't believe you.
Nope.
And he said, no, you're wrong. But somewhere, you tapped into the universal knowledge, and you had a feeling. You had a gut feeling.
Oh, I sure did.
And that gut feeling is your intuition. And everybody listening on Coast to Coast tonight, my wish for all of you is to listen to that intuition. And more importantly, when you get that gut feeling, act upon it.
How many people don't act on it? And then they kick themselves for it. Oh, I should have. I could have. And I didn't.
That's the problem. That's the problem. And I teach intuition. I teach people about their intuition, because to me that's more important than, I mean, I love doing my readings. Don't get me wrong. I love connecting people with their loved ones in the spirit world. And I love helping guide people in their lives. It's so satisfying for me. And it's my purpose here. But to watch other people grow and to understand that they when they listen to their gut feeling, like the person who decides not to go on the airplane and the airplane ends up crashing, or the person who has a feeling to go to the school to get their child and the child's in the infirmary and they didn't know about it. Or the person who decides to go take a trip to visit their parent and their elderly parent, and it just so happened at that moment they needed them to go to the hospital. I mean, this is where our intuition comes in. And what's interesting is that it's just a subtle thought. You can be in your busiest part of your day and something says, call your sister, call your friend, call your wife, mm-hmm. call your husband, go see your child. And it's just a subtle little thought.
It's something you sense. You just know it's there.
But it's sometimes just a thought, and it's being aware. It's allowing ourselves to be aware of our thoughts and be in the moment so we can acknowledge whatever that thought is. Because I heard you talking earlier about the speed of light and measuring the speed of light.
Yeah.
My gut theory is the speed of thought is faster than the speed of light. And that's how we communicate with our spirits, and that's how our guides and God and our that energy of goodness that will take us on the right path.
Oh, I think you're onto something.
I've only been working for 45 years to figure this out, and I'm always learning, and I'm still learning.
Are you getting more and more tuned in as time goes by?
I am, and I don't know, there's somewhere in Greece or the Romans or somebody said that women's intuition really doesn't kick in until menopause. Well, I've been past that for a while, and I'm always learning, and I'm always doing the best I can. I never assume anything because I'm only as good as my last reading. And you know, there. If you go on the internet, you'll see me reading for Dr. Phil and Robin, and shows with Dr. Oz, and some you know very prestigious, well-known people. But I'm only as good as the last client that I had today or yesterday.
Well, I got to tell you, it is an amazing ability to be able to do it, but I think you're absolutely right. The important thing is to realize, recognize that it's happening and act on it. Because I would bet most people, Char, do not act on it.
Well, here's the other thing, that when you ask me about the scientist, see, I have a very deep faith. Since I was a little girl, I was raised in the Jewish religion, but then I went to summer camp where I went to church every Sunday, and the reason I actually went to summer camp was because I was afraid to be alone at night, and both my older sisters are 9 and 13 years older than I was, and they were out and married already.
You were alone.
Pardon?
You were always alone.
My parents worked and so I went to summer camp so I wouldn't be alone because I was feeling energy.
Hold on for a second, Char. We've got to take this quick break, but we will be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Psychic Char Margolis with us. Her website is char.net, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Her book is called Questions from Earth, Answers from Heaven. Char, let's talk a little bit about the other side. If you can kind of give us a tutorial of what happens when you die. Not you personally, but what happens?
Well, if you've ever talked to... I was recently on Dr. Oz. And the first part of the show, he had three different people who had a near-death experience. And they were proclaimed dead. And they had visions while they were proclaimed dead. And they came back to talk about it. Now, one girl had just gotten married, and she actually was in Lake Michigan, of all places, and was drowned.
Oh.
And her husband was praying and praying and praying, and they got her out of the water. And for a brief moment, she was proclaimed dead. But then, and she had a vision, and his love and his prayers, and she felt it. She saw the white light. She saw her loved ones saying, it's not your time yet. And people see who they resonate with. Some people will see Christ. Some people will see maybe Moses or Allah or Muhammad.
Or Buddha.
There you go. And they say it's beautiful there. Okay, that was bad.
That was
but
bad.
Anyway.
Back to the Kelly and Company you go.
So they see, people who've had these experiences see or a loved one, and they say it's not your time yet. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and a lot of people out there are not going to want to hear this story, but I'm going to tell it because it fascinated me. There was another man on the show who was a total atheist.
Now, we get those calls, by the way, and you may get some of them later when we take phone calls.
Well, that's okay. It doesn't matter. Whatever. I'm here for the people who can resonate with me. If we can try to work together to heal the planet, that's all I care about. And everybody else is a fly in my face. So anyway... this man had he was proclaimed dead. I guess it was on an operating table. I can't remember the exact story. And he believed in nothing. And he went to hell, or what we might call hell, and smelled garbage, and there were demons and gargoyles and very negative things, and it smelled like garbage and horrible, like the sewer. And for the first time in his life, he yelled for Christ, and Jesus Christ came to him, and Jesus Christ said, "It's not your time yet," and his heart started beating again. He was brought back to earth, and from that moment on, he lived his life in a very pure, honest way, where he had faith in Christ.
That's a great story.
Right. But see, the thing is that so many people think, everybody who dies goes to a good place. That's not true.
No, that's not true. That's not true. Mm-hmm. But now, do you believe in the so-called hell theory, or is there just another place for these spirits?
I like to say, George, that there are different neighborhoods over there. And I just, I live my life wanting to make sure that I go to a really nice neighborhood when I get over there one day.
All right, so what do you think about angels and their interaction with humans?
Well, I definitely believe in angels. I definitely have heard many stories where somebody was in a car and somebody else took over the wheel and saved them from getting in a bad crash. I've known, if you remember the story about Houdini, when he was in the Detroit River and he heard his mother's voice. And do you remember the story about it was freezing.
They dumped him in a box, right? He had to get out of that box.
Yeah, but there was ice, and he got out of the box, but he couldn't find the hole.
He couldn't. That's right. It kind of like drifted down.
And he heard his mother's voice, and that's when he found the hole.
He followed the voice to the hole.
Right. Now here's the thing: he lived the rest of his life trying to find mediums that could communicate with the spirit world, and he never could. He never did.
Very frustrated.
But he never owned his own power. The beauty of this whole story, if you were alive today, I would say, hey, buddy, your intuition, your connection with your mother, your connection to the spirit world and your angel took you to safety.
Indeed it did.
Mm-hmm.
When we take calls next hour, folks are going to ask for personal readings. Do you do that? I want to make sure that we handle this correctly.
I would be happy to do that.
Okay. What do you need any specific information from them?
Well, basically,
you need birth dates or anything like that?
No. But I always say a prayer protection before I do my work, and I need people to say yes or no, and I need people to be open-minded about the people around them, living and deceased, only because sometimes people just hyper-focus on one thing. They try to produce the reading, and it can't be like that. It's got to be whatever comes to me, and sometimes I get the things that they're looking for.
I mean,
for.
Do they ask you a question, or do you tell them something?
They can ask me a question, but it's better if I tune in on them first to make sure I'm tuned in to them.
All right, okay.
Because I want to feel their energy. I want to feel what's going on with them.
All right, that's how we'll do it, folks. When you call in next hour with Char, let her just chat with you for a little bit, and then you can ask a question.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling with you. So, can I ask you something? I mean,
yeah, sure.
Do you mind? Just say yes or no. I feel like there's another George or J or G person around you.
I'm a Gemini. There's two of me.
No. Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Happy birthday. No, but is there another George or J or G person family around you?
You mean physically?
No, deceased or?
Well, everyone in my family. Everyone in my family. And I've lost my dad and one of my sisters.
Wait.
But everybody's name started with a G.
Okay. And is there another George?
My grandfather, whom I never knew.
Okay. I think I feel his energy around you. And your dad was a G. Was there an R in his first name?
No, there's an R in my middle name.
In his full name or your?
My name.
No. Okay, and in your dad, and with your sister, is it G with an L in it?
I mean, my dad had an R in his name, but it started with a G.
Yeah, but it's not like a Gregory or
no.
Gary
it was Gabriel.
Gabriel. Okay.
There's an R in Gabriel.
I feel like your dad's spirits around you, and is your sister G with an N in it or an L?
Which one? I had two.
I don't know.
The one who died was Glinda with a G-L.
G-L with an N in it. Okay, yeah, yeah, don't say names. Just say yes or no. But I feel like she's around with your father. And I'm wanting to know if there was something. Did your mom have an issue with her foot or her leg?
She's 88. She's always got issues.
Okay, with her foot or her leg?
You know, she's in Detroit. She hates telling me about her ailments.
Okay, all I'm saying is I feel like I want to make sure she has something to hold on to at nighttime when she goes to the bathroom or whatever. I feel like she needs something to hang on to. And also I don't know if this is her or you, but an issue with teeth. Did you have an issue with teeth or did she?
No, but I was going to dentist school for 2 years.
Oh, you were supposed to be a dentist.
I was going to the University of Detroit for 2 years.
Okay, that's probably what I'm picking up on. I just see images and I have to figure them out. But anyway, I feel like your mom's okay though. I do.
Yeah,
I feel like
she's spunky. She really is. Listens to the show. She's probably listening to you right now.
And also,
enough of me. Enough of me.
Wait. One more thing, please. Are you changing where you live, or you live in two places?
I live everywhere. I'm a nomad.
Are you changing where you live?
No, but I live everywhere. I live in L.A. I live in St. Louis. I have places everywhere.
Okay, that's good. Anyway, I feel like a positive.
Now, unless you did homework with somebody that knows me.
Wait. I feel like a positive thing about your work. I feel secure with this.
So do I. I just extended my contract until 30/30 or something like that.
Yeah, this is really
my
it's
staff
all good.
Loves it.
It's all good. And anyway, I won't talk. If you ever want, we can talk not on radio.
Because, you know, you're here for our listeners. Let's give them the opportunity.
Yeah, but we can talk off radio if you want.
But
ever.
This, you're dying to find out more about me. I can tell. See, some of you psychics are that way.
No, I'm not dying to find out things about you, but you have a pure energy.
Yeah, I've been told that.
And because you have a pure energy, it's like a pleasure
now,
to connect with you.
When you talk to listeners, we have to limit you to time for each
one.
Okay,
I'll quit.
So maybe Maybe a minute and a half each person.
Okay, I'll try to be quick.
Okay, and then if I have to jump in, I will. I don't want to be rude. But, I mean, already every phone line is lit. People are calling, and we haven't even started the hour yet.
I'm honored, and it'll be a pleasure to read for these people.
In everything that you have done in the psychic world, what would you say has amazed you the most?
Wow, that's interesting. You know,
everything you've done.
Well, many years ago, Dean Martin's son was missing in an airplane, and Shirley MacLaine's office referred me to the family, and they took me to March Air Force Base, and I went with Ricky Martin, who was Dean's son, and his Dean Paul's best friend. And anyway, there were all these men in uniform, and I pointed on a map, and I said, "I think he's right here." And they couldn't find him They couldn't find him for 5 days.
He died in that crash.
He was an airplane pilot for the Army.
And Dean was never the same after that.
No. And then I pointed on the map and I said, "He's right here." And they said, "Well, we've been looking there." I said, "Yeah, but I think he's camouflaged on the side of the mountain." And within 2 hours, after 5 days, they found him. And the skeptics try to say I didn't do it, but you can ask Shirley MacLaine.
And Shirley's been on the show. She's a friend of ours.
Well, she'll tell you that I did it. And so will, and we just got an email from one of the nurses that worked on it. And the skeptics are trying to say it didn't happen, but it did happen. And I remember Shirley said, "Oh, poor kid." And we said, why are you saying poor kid?" She said, "Well, you didn't get publicity on it." I said, "I did it to help the family."
That's right. I understand.
And I went to dinner once with Dean Martin, and he said, "Your last name should be Ming, M-I-N-G. And I said, "Ming? Why Ming?" He said, "Because you're charming."
That's funny. He was a great talent. Gosh, he was great.
So sweet.
You're almost like a remote viewer too, aren't you?
Well, I guess in that case I did.
Yeah. I mean, I think intuitiveness and psychic is that it's all connected.
Well, yeah, because and so many people have so many different gifts. So many, you know.
Has there ever been a time, Shaw, that you wished you didn't have this gift?
Not a single second. Not a single iota of a second.
Well, that's good.
No, I love what I do. I'm blessed to do it. It's a calling for me. And when you asked me earlier about how did I find out about this, when I finally met people who were involved in spiritual kind of work, somebody said, "Do a reading." And I read for this woman on the spot, and I said things I couldn't know about her. And I had an epiphany at that moment that this is what I'm supposed to do.
I'm going to have my sister Gail call you back in Detroit. You two will get along well. I mean,
I'm going to be in Detroit in July and August.
You're in LA most of the time or Detroit?
Well, yeah, and I also do intuition retreats in Palm Springs.
That's near Joshua Tree, where I just was.
Okay, well, I take my people, my students, to the Integratron. Did you go there?
Absolutely.
You went there?
Yeah, I go out to Joshua Tree every year for what is called Contact in the Desert, which is
huge
event.
Because I have a show at UBN called Char Vision, and the owner of UBN was there.
I'm gonna get the Contact in the Desert people in touch with you. You should be a guest there every year.
Oh wow! Thank you. That's so kind of you.
You have a great time. All right, we're gonna take a quick break, Shar, and we're going to come back, and then we'll take phone calls. Got to limit everybody to a minute and a half max because there's just too many calls. And those of you who are calling, we'll get right to you. We'll get you on hold. Tom will get to you. And we will be talking with Shar Margolis. Her book is called Questions from Earth, Answers from Heaven, A Psychic's Intuitive Discussion of Life and Death and What Awaits Us Beyond. It's just a great subject to have that kind of intuitive ability, which she claims, and I agree that we all have it. You just need to recognize it. And when you do, use it for your own abilities, and it'll change your life. And don't forget, email is george at coasttocoastam.com.